You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 269. Guess who's not coming to dinner?
And welcome to episode 269 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul. I'm Paul French, and today I am Frozen Lad, but not for the reasons you might think. I took the little girl to see Frozen today.
How was it?
It was great. It was really quite good. She has declared it her favorite movie ever. And it will always be her favorite movie, which is the first time a 4-year-old has ever said that after a Disney movie.
It's true.
It's a new Disney movie, Scott. It's based on the Snow Queen, the old Hans Christian Andersen story, The Snow Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened with a really cool Steamboat Willie cartoon that turns into something completely different from that. It was awesome.
Good old Steamboat Willie.
It was kind of her first real theater movie. Like we went to a freebie thing of Elf last year. But that was like a sort of a Saturday morning. Most of the row was empty, so she was, you know, getting up and into every seat. So today it was like, you can't do that this time.
No. There are other people.
Exactly. So she had a lot of fun. As we got up, as we were getting there, she's like, Daddy, I'm so excited.
Aww. That's so cute.
Yeah, and she loves, and I could hear as we were driving home, I could hear her in the back seat making up a song about the movie as we headed home.
One of me.
So, and this was as we headed to the mailbox for her to mail off her letter to Santa Claus.
Yeah. We are Disney. You will be assimilated.
Yeah. Mm. So we have, seriously. Anyway, that's me for this week.
Thank you for this week. Wonderful. I am Darren Noel, and I am ate way too much freaking turkey this week. Oh, yeah. Because, oh my God, Thanksgiving!
So jealous of turkey.
So good. I still have some leftovers. I'm still working through them.
Maybe you could ship them up here one morsel at a time.
I could send them one turkey thread at a time with a smear of cranberry across the back of the envelope so you'll know who it's from.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because that is the act of a hateful, hateful person. So, someone's on the naughty list this year.
Wow, so bitter.
Lots of people on the naughty list, apparently. Anyway, so that's basically me. I've been getting ready for the end of the semester and enjoyed the holiday. Now I've got exams to look forward to. Having a little shindig this coming Friday for the Xmas holidays.
Nice.
My little triple Xmas party. It'll be fun.
Outstanding.
Indeed. It'll be a blasteroony. So there you go.
In the face.
Uh-huh.
I am Scott Coles, and tonight I am Infected Lad.
Oh.
I have been fighting the Blicket all weekend, hawking up Lumbutter.
Yeah.
It's pleasant. It's very pleasant. So if I fade out for a bit, it's probably because I'm away from the microphone hacking my brains out.
Mm. Fair enough.
But we'll see if we can get through it.
It has been making its way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not good.
That sounds lovely. Take care of
yourself. Yeah. So that's it, yeah.
So you've made it back from Medicus One. Meanwhile, Kramer is out in deep space.
Christmas Part 5.
Exactly.
Or something.
Kramer Christmas Kramer Part pre-Christmas. 1. Yeah, Kramer pre-Christmas, exactly. KPK, Kramer pre-Christmas.
We have to be careful with the K initials, folks. You know
yes,
why.
That's so. Why I made sure there was a P in the middle.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So to speak.
It's usually good to take a P in the middle.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
We frequently do. That's why the bottle's next to the computer, right?
Oh, yeah. If you hold it too long, you can lose function.
Indeed.
I know, right?
It's not good. It's not good. So we do have some Legion news.
We do. We do actually this week have Legion news.
Sad Legion news, because one of the creators of the Legion, Mr. Al Plastino, passed away. Let's make no mistake. Mr. Plastino had himself a long, long life, and did some wonderful things during that life.
He was the last original, wasn't he?
Quite possibly.
DC guys.
Yeah. I think so. Because when you think about it, and he outlived a lot of them by several years. You know, guys like Kurt Swan, and and like John Fort died many years before. So one of the few who drew these things back in. They say they believe that he was the only person still alive who drew Superman comics professionally before 1967.
Wow.
Yes, he passed away last Monday, November 25th, at age 91, from prostate cancer. Get yourselves checked, folks.
Look at that. Yep. 91 and still took cancer to take him down.
Yeah. Right? Seriously.
Talk about Superman.
So yeah, guy is over 40. Go to the doctor. Yeah. Get yourself checked. Please, please.
Absolutely. He's coming to... So he's known...
Get a doctor with small hands.
Yes.
Just putting that out there.
Yes. Known for his many years of work on Superman, he came into limelight lately over his battle to have his original art of Superman with JFK returned. So he's believed to be the... And I'll explain a bit about that in a little bit. Believed to be the only person still alive who drew Superman comics professionally before 1967. He started his career with DC Comics back in 1948. Just to let you know, this is coming from comicspriceguide.com. They're my source on this. His first known comic book work was in 1941 for Dynamic Comics. So he always had that DC in there somewhere. After serving in World War II, he freelanced in and out of comics until coming to work with DC in 48, where he worked until the early 70s. So that's a lengthy time to be working in one place, for sure. for most of that time, he was probably more known as the backup Superman artist to Wayne Boring and then Kurt Swan. The stories they didn't have time to do were done by Plastino. Some important ones that he did. Action Comics 252, first appearance of Supergirl.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Adventure Comics 247.
I wonder what happened in that one.
There was an Aquaman story or something.
Okay.
Anyway, it definitely sad news. I do want to get into a little bit about his this whole JFK thing, because it's a fascinating story. Now, ironic the timing of it, being that that he died just a few days after the 50th anniversary of Kennedy's assassination. He had drawn this issue of Superman, in which President Kennedy appeared. And so I'm just trying to get the this is from Mark Evanier's site, news from ME. Okay. Anyway, so basically he drew this issue. Which was issue 168. And essentially what was happening was they wanted to do this story. About the president's physical fitness, initiatives at the time. And so they were going to have Superman sort of do like, this was like a little bit of outreach for it.
Uh-huh.
And so it was Superman's Mission for President Kennedy, which he began drawing in 1963, before Kennedy's assassination. And the story was conceived with the Kennedy White House, pairing Superman and Kennedy as allies in promoting the president's new physical fitness program. The issue was not yet finished when the president was killed in Dallas that November. And so initially, DC decided, okay, let's call it off. But the Johnson administration encouraged them to continue with it. And so it went forward in a revised fashion. So there's the issue's cover, and this ended up being issue 170. It was originally planned for 168. The issue's cover, Plastino drew a flying Superman looking toward a ghostly, larger-than-life image of Kennedy looming over the Capitol Dome with the flag at half-mast. And the last page of the story... They explained the story behind its publication, you know, basically so people didn't think they were just trying to cash in. The original art for this story, it said, would be donated to the John F. Kennedy Memorial Library at Harvard University. So, as it turns out, this was from the New York Times obituary for Plastino, and it's not all true. It says the above is wrong about it being a drawing for the cover. The story was not featured or even mentioned on the cover of the comic it appeared in, which was actually 170 as it ended up. But what they're describing is the first page of the story. And, you know, that the old splash page that they used to do. And some facts. August 30th, 1963, the New York Times ran a story about a then-upcoming story in the Superman comic book in which JFK enlists the aid of the Man of Steel to help promote physical fitness. Some points of interest about that article. It made no mention that the story was in any way requested by or done in cooperation with the White House. And it reprinted one panel from the story, a panel drawn by Kurt Swan. It said the story was scheduled for the late fall issue of Superman, which was 165. Which was 166. Yeah, okay. It says here, Superman 165 went on sale the week after the article appeared, so late fall would suggest 166, which went on sale the first week of November. However, it also said panels were now being drawn for the story. If that was true, then it would mean that the story would probably not be done in time to be printed in 1963, and that the story was not drawn all at once, the way almost all comic book stories are. Uh-huh. It probably has something to do with working with the administration, because they would want to have something to say about it. So, in 168, which came out the following February, the letters page was preempted by an announcement that just as the issue was going to press, they'd learned of the murder of President Kennedy. They reprinted the New York Times piece and stated that the story was to have been published in 169, but they pulled it from that issue and would be substituting other material. They had decided, they said, to not publish it and instead present the original artwork to Kennedy's widow, Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. Evanier says that he's a bit suspicious that it was ever slated for any issue around this time because the story was 10 pages. If they'd yanked it at the last minute and substituted another story, then the issue in question would have a different 10-page story. But 166, 167, and 168 all had book-length stories in them, and 169 had three stories, 1 8 pages in length, 114, 15. Where would the 10-page story have appeared? He says in each case, the cover... of the comic in question went to press several weeks before the insides, and the covers were specific to the stories inside. So it seems unlikely that it was a last-minute switch of the interiors for a 10-page story in any of them. So it finally did appear in 170 with a caption on page one. The page, the Times, just confused with the cover in their Plastino obit. Oh, my. Uh-huh. Stated that it was originally to have appeared in 168, not 169. This was the one drawn by Al Plastino. Even though it was an important story that had been mentioned in the New York Times, it was not on the cover. The other story in that comic, if Lex Luthor were Superman's father, was on the cover and longer. So all these questions and conflicts, and there's no record of either a Swan version of the story or a Plastino version ever actually being presented to the Kennedy Library. or to Mrs. Kennedy, or any other person or institution. There is no explanation as to why the panel in the New York Times was by Swan, but the published story, which featured the same scene with slightly different dialogue, was by Plastino. And why didn't DC put the Superman JFK story on the cover of 170, giving it some importance and also probably upping sales of the issue? Or save it for the next issue when they could have featured it on the cover? And why only 10 pages for such a special story? So here's the best Evanier can do to come up with a theory, he says. He says it's guessing. I welcome anyone else's theory on why it make, on what that makes any more sense. He said, first off, why is the panel in the Times by Swan when the published story was by Plastino? Folks discussing this on the net are theorizing the Swan version of the story was lost. The DC donated it to Mrs. Kennedy, and then when they decided to print it later, they didn't have access to the original art or good copies of it, therefore they decided to have it redrawn. Possibly, but unlikely. But he considers it highly unlikely. He says it was a historic story, and it didn't dawn on anyone there that they might want to publish it at some point. My suspicion, he says, there was no completed Superman JFK story drawn by Kurt Swan. Superman editor Mort Weisinger was great at promotion and had press connections. Maybe he had a script written, but I'm skeptical he had more than a page drawn. He could have had just that one panel done. Remember that line about in the Times story about panels now being drawn? That wasn't how comics were ever done.
Yeah,
Kurt Swan penciled a story, a letterer lettered it, an inker inked it, and the story was completed. How could they have one finished inked panel to print in a Times article if other panels were now being drawn? Good point.
Well,
wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah,
they do that now.
Well, yeah, sure. The reporter asks, "Can I see the entire story?" What can Weisinger say? He has to say, "Not yet. It's still being drawn." So instead, he's like, "Okay, we can." Yeah. So why would Weisinger have just one pager panel done and not the entire story? Well, I can think of several motives, but the most likely is that he was trying to sell someone in the White House on the idea of endorsing the project.
Probably, yeah.
You probably wouldn't want to have the whole story written and drawn if you wanted them to endorse the concept and offer input. And maybe he did get them interested, or maybe he didn't, but eager to promote the project, he jumped the gun in announcing it to the Times. Whatever the reason, he was up to something, and he planted the item, and then the game plan, and whatever it was, changed when Kennedy was killed. So in the first issue that went to press after 11-22-63, which was 168, Weisinger did indeed announce that they weren't going to print that story, but at that point, I believe it hadn't even been drawn or scheduled. Then they got a lot of letters urging them to print it. And maybe the publisher came to him and said, "Hey, Mort, I'm getting calls from people who think it makes us look bad not to publish a story that Kennedy would allegedly wanted to see published. Get it drawn and stick it in the next issue that's going to press." They may have received a bit of actual encouragement from the White House, though I'm suspicious about that, too. By this point, 169 was presumably off to the engraver, and it was too late to change the cover of the following issue. But they could change the insides of 170. 170, I theorize, was close to being ready to go. 10-pager called Superman's Sacrifice and the If Lex Luthor Were Superman's Father. The latter couldn't be bumped because it was depicted on the cover when it was too late to change the cover. So they moved Superman's Sacrifice to the following issue and quickly had a script written for the JFK tale to run in its place. That's why only 10 pages for a story that could have used a lot more. Folks who analyze such things have concluded that the script represents the work of two writers, Bill Finger and E. Nelson Bridwell.
So hold on, that means Bob Kane wrote it, right?
Wow.
If you ask Stan Lee, he did it, so.
Excelsior!
I was so busy writing, I had to write something for DC, too.
I wrote all their books for 5 years. Julie Schwartz didn't even notice.
Finger, best remembered now as the Unbilled. These were two men who never worked together otherwise. Finger, of course, best remembered now as the Unbilled co-creator of Batman, was a freelancer, and Bridwell was Weisinger's assistant editor. If there are enough traces of Bridwell's writing style in the published story to recognize him, that probably means that he did extensive rewrites on Finger's script. Perhaps Finger's script was done back before Swan had allegedly drawn it and needed to be rewritten to fit into 10 pages so that it could run in that space in 170. Or maybe Finger's script was done after Kennedy's death to fit that slot in 170 but needed a lot of quick revisions, so Bridwell did them then. Either way, they gave it to whichever of their two main Superman artists could get it done in time, and at that moment it was Plastino. So he drew it, and it looks like someone else did some retouchings on some of the drawings of Kennedy. But it was published with a little blurb at the end saying that the original art would be donated to the Kennedy Library, which no one at DC ever got around to doing.
Shocker.
Instead, it was most likely just taken home by someone around the office. That happened a lot with DC artwork at the time.
Uh-huh.
And later wound up in an art auction, much to Plastino's surprise and displeasure. There are some other possible scenarios with this, but I feel pretty certain that the Plastino version was drawn after Kennedy was killed and not before, and he probably misremembered when he said otherwise, an easy, innocent mistake to make. It was like 40-odd years ago. 50 years ago, in fact. Mm. Yes.
So I hear 55.
Who knows?
5750. Final offer.
So the first page was definitely drawn after, and the lettering on it explaining the story of being published at the request of President Johnson is by the same letterer who did the rest of the story. It's unlikely it would have been the same letterer if the first page had been created months late, apart from the rest of the story. The wording on that first page also sounds kind of phony. It says the story was prepared in close cooperation with the late President Kennedy. Even though neither the Times item nor the letter column announcement in 168 made any such claim. If it was true, wouldn't someone have mentioned it before? None of this stuff about Kennedy cooperating with DC or Johnson requesting the story's publication is consistent or convincing. You know that what they would have done if all that had been true? When Kennedy was killed, they would have tabled the story for a while so as not to be accused of disrespect or bad taste. Then they would have published it a few months later, saying JFK would have wanted to see it in print, and if applicable, that the White House had requested it. They would not have lost the original art to Swan's version if there really was a Swan version, and they would have published it as the cover feature in a big, heavily promoted edition with tributes to Kennedy and exercise tips in the back. Instead, they burned the whole idea off quickly, calling little attention to it because it was a bit of a sham in the first place, and they just wanted to be done with it. He says, so that's my theory. There are other components to all this that I could mention, like the 8 other comic book artists on the grassy knoll or the single brush theory, but I've spent more time thinking about this than it's worth, and if you've made it this far, so did you, about halfway through this posting. So, anyway, but yeah, he was...
Fascinating story. Tell it again, Paul.
Now.
If you do that, then we don't have to do anything else this issue.
Yeah,
true.
But he was trying to get this stuff back, uh-huh. And it ended up in someone's art collection, and it's just one of those things, one of those many comic book art travesties.
It's one of those legends now that will go down in comic book time of.
It hey, is. And
if you would just give people back their artwork,
yeah,
they would be happy.
And here's the thing, you know, is like he was fighting this again. So this guy's got like he's got cancer and he's 90, you know, 91.
Uh-huh.
And fighting this. Love that. You know, so, yeah. So Al Pacino was a very interesting guy, and I know we've talked to some people who got commissions from him, and pretty amazing dude, and it's a shame we never had a chance to talk to him. God knows we tried.
We really did, folks.
Now I really understand why. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, the guy was a true talent. I mean, go through some of those old showcases of Superman, any of that stuff, go through some of those archives. The guy was a real talent, and it's well worth seeking out some of his work.
Indeed. And, so rest in peace, drink up for Mr. Plastino, indeed. Gentlemen.
Pour one out for our homie Al.
Indeed.
A fine artist. Fine artist.
So I've clearly gone on forever. So shocking.
Welcome to Paulcast.
Oh, hey, wait a second.
Take a drink. There's another one for the road. There you go.
Oh my.
Open them up. Open them up.
That's messy.
I've said that before, so
you.
All right.
Me.
Stop it. I'm sick.
So, Darren, do you want to give us some of the story behind this issue?
Yeah, let's talk about the story before we get into it. The story behind the story, the VH1 special.
Does that pop up video?
It does. Whoop.
Sweet.
Whoop. So here's the thing. This is Superboy starring the Legion of Superheroes, number 207, the rookie who betrayed the Legion. And the cover has, of course, the top third taken up with the logo and all that pricing information. But the bottom two thirds shows a large hand, which we would presume would be Colossal Boy, given the title of the blog. I can't talk today.
The dialogue.
Thank you. Oh my God. I'm getting old and crotchety. That Superboy saying here where he says there's a spy among us, but he's just made a colossal mistake. Well, one would assume that is Colossal Boy's hand, reaching down, and we look into a room where there are some Legionnaires meeting. Looks like Light Lass, Lightning Lad, could be Cosmic Boy or Mon-El, Brainy, Phantom Girl, and Saturn Girl. Well, outside, it appears to be a science police officer and looking in on the Legion's meeting. And that's kind of unusual, isn't it, folks? Well, this was going to be the issue where Kerry Bates and Mike Grill introduced an African-American character to the Legion.
What?
Yeah. And so that character was going to be science police officer Devron, who is here now, and the issue was all ready to go. It was all colored, ready to go. Hit the editor's desk, and the editors freaked out and said, absolutely not. You have to recolor Devron Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
What? So everywhere in the story that you see Officer Devron, he doesn't really look like he would evolve into, because he evolves into an Irish guy, you know, with the bright, bright red hair and kind of a doofus mentality. This is not the same character style-wise at all.
Yeah.
That we would get later. It's, if you look at this, you can clearly tell that there are some facial characteristics on Devron, which you would assume would be on someone who is African-American. Or from African descent.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The lips are fuller than Devron's lips wind up being in the Baxter run for sure. That's kind of the key giveaway, you know, for me. So here we have our wonderful story. And but of course, the fact that they decided to, you know, recolor Devron as a white character turned into a big deal, because when they said, okay, now we're finally going to do it, we're going to finally bring in an African-American character, we're going to introduce him slowly and make him a Legionnaire, and that's when we get Tyrock, not too far from here.
Yeah.
Okay? So this was an ongoing argument going on, and of course the reason was that they thought they couldn't sell any books in the South.
I remember...
Just be brought back up.
I remember the San Diego panel for the Legion's 50th anniversary. And I remember Paul Levitz talking about it and saying, yeah, you know, you were just really afraid, because remember, comics were returnable at the time. Yep. So it wasn't even the fact that they were worried that they wouldn't be able to sell it in the South. They were worried that even if they could get by with that, they'd all get sent back.
Yeah.
Sadly, that was a real worry even then.
Yep. Because this is 1973, 1974.
Yeah, 74, yeah.
Yeah, so this is not too far removed from, you know, I was 4 years old living in the South, and, you know, things were a little crunchy back then. So I don't remember much of it, but I know that they were crunchy. So to an extent, still crunchy today. Let's go through the story written by Kerry Bates, art by Mike Grell. Let me flip to my credits here. It's probably Ben Oda. It's got to be Ben Oda, right? And see, it's Ben Oda. It's Ben Oda. In fact, Ben Oda does most of these stories from here until eternity. So yeah. Don't mention a colorist, it's Ben Oda probably. So we open up on a splash page of the Legion. We have Superboy, Light Lass, Timberwolf, and Chameleon Boy all gallivanting off in their flight rings in the sky. They're trying to get Devron to follow them because apparently Universo is on the loose. Oh, no. Can't have that.
Question.
Yes.
Did Timberwolf used to have pupils before this? Was Grell the one who started doing that thing where he doesn't have them?
No.
This was his Cockrum did that. This was his new look when everyone forgot that he was alive and dead.
Starting in 197.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So he comes back and looks a lot like a character that would evolve over at the house across the street, doesn't he? So DeBron's like, yeah, I'm right behind you, Legionnaires, and I'm about to fire my gun into your foolish backs, he thinks. What? Of course, that gun won't do anything to Superboy's back now, will it? The members of the 30th Century Science Police are well known for their courage and devotion to duty, so it seemed like a good match when one of their officers teamed up with the famed Legionnaires to track down a fugitive arch-criminal, but that was before the shocking truth was revealed about the rookie who betrayed the Legion. Indeed. And here we are. We are at the president of Earth's desk, and he sits solemnly behind his desk to deliver a grim message. The trouble alert is on, kids. And I don't have to tell any of you what a dangerous outlaw Universo is, since it was the Legion that captured him twice before. However, I must warn the Legionnaires that Universo's spellbinding hypnotic powers are more powerful than ever, and this picto slide from the Omega prison complex demonstrates the guards were compelled to let him out, and even furnished the ship that completed his getaway. Our latest reports indicate that Universo is hiding out on R7, one of the Rigel planetoids. It didn't take me long to decide who would want to take first crack at him. Ooh, hello.
And
of course, the Legion's like, yes, we will get on that right now.
President Kandru was a badass when it came to that stuff. And this cape, by the way, that he's wearing. Yeah, this cape he would wear right up to his last appearance.
Yep.
That's his presidential robe of office.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Marte never wore anything that flamboyant.
No.
So the Legionnaires are deciding how they're going to do it and how they're going to get there. And they're looking up R7 like a good bunch of space travelers would. Like, it's a ball of solid rock. There's nothing there. Since when did Universo ever leave us an easy trail to follow? And there's an alarm goes off. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And the Legionnaires are like, our intruder alarm. Someone's snooping outside the Citadel grounds. Who's on guard duty? Oh, that prowler is making a colossal mistake. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
And it's almost a perfect recreation of the cover.
Yeah, it is.
Almost a perfect recreation, because the red glow comes down and snatches DeBron, and Colossal Boy picks him up by his Jimmy Jammies there. And Colossal Boy says, don't make any sudden moves or I may just lose my gentle touch. Oh, Colossal Boy, you rough boy. And says, now let me get a good look at you before I... Hey, I owe you an apology, the guy says. Or Colossal Boy says. And Cam says, Colossal Boy was just following our standard procedure. I assure you we're sorry if, because now they're looking at him and goes, oh, well, look at that. Forget it, Chameleon Boy. No one understands standard procedure better than a police officer. SPXX342 DeBron, at your service. I never expected to find a member of the science police prowling outside our headquarters. Well, to tell you the truth, I was hoping this would happen so I get your attention right away. Before you set out after Argus Oranx, the third, better known as Universo, wow, I want to go with you. I know, right? No wonder he chose Universo, right? With a name like that, he was made fun of at school all the time. I know Legionnaires prefer to work alone, but I wouldn't cramp your style. I'm very good at my job. That we don't doubt, DeBron, but it isn't that we have anything against working with the science police. Before you turn me down, at least give me a chance to explain while I'm here. And we get a flashback, and really, in this panel down here, you can tell that this character is supposed to be African American.
Oh yeah,
he's got some pronounced lips.
Yeah.
Yep. And he flashes back to where he and his, he's the rookie and the pro on the force here, saying, "Be alert, DeBron. Our quarry is somewhere close by. How can you be so sure?" And they had apparently had tracked Universo through the mutated jungles of Africa last year. I thought he had just escaped. Okay, and the old pro says, instinct, DeBron, instinct. After you've been with the Force as long as I have, you develop a sixth sense that warns you of danger. Look out. I tried to blast the giant man-eater plant apart with my stunner, but its thick green hide was as tough as armor. Yeah, he got Audrey-tued.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Five seconds away from retirement. Wow.
Feed me Seymour.
Devron's like, no use, I can't save him. And as I saw my partner mercilessly consumed by the giant plant, I looked up to see, Universo, why isn't the killer plant attacking him? And then the reason dawned on me when I saw the telltale circular beams emanating from his pendant. Of course, he's controlling the plant with his hypnotic powers. That makes him a murderer because he ordered it to attack. Yeah, I know.
He can hypnotize vegetables?
Hypnotize your veggies, yep.
That's weird. You'd think, I didn't see any eyes on that thing. How does he get hypnotized?
You just do the way you do, you know? You ever looked like at a plate of broccoli and just went, broccoli. Anyway.
I never had to eat anybody on my behalf, however.
Devron says, I tried to apprehend him, but I was so shaken up by my pal's death. Universo easily eluded me. Now you understand why capturing Universo means so much to me. And all the Legionnaires are like, okay, yeah, you can go along. But Superboy is over there in the corner kind of being a little pensive. Superboy? He's the only one who didn't say yes. And Superboy says, you may be a crack policeman, DeBron, but it'll take everything you have alongside us. I guess what I'm saying is, yes. Remember where Superboy's from, kids. 1930, 1940s America. It will be an honor to join you. I promise I won't let you down. Wait and see. And after the task force reaches the Rigel planetoid system, sensor scans reveal only one life form on the barren surface. It can only be Universo. Focus on his coordinates and navigate a landing close by. Ooh, what an eerie place. It looks like a Star Trek set with no red shirts on it. I'll say only big trouble would force a passing ship to land here, which is just why Universo chose it for a hideout. Let's split up and search in different directions. Come on, Lightlass. Right with you, Superboy. Timberwolf looks like we're partners. Suits me, Violet. Oh, my. Well, Timberwolf and Violet, you're going to regret that move later, kids. We've already done that story, but you go ahead. Guess it leaves you and me, Devron. Any suggestions? Cam says. Well, the police academy, they taught us it's sometimes useful to think like a criminal when trying to apprehend one. Interesting. Let me see. If I were Universo and being pursued, I'd hide where I'd be least expected to be found. And Devron points at Universo sneaking onto the Legionnaire ship. Like sneaking into your own ship? There he is. Let's get him. Blank out your thoughts before he has a chance to use his hypnotic powers. And Chameleon Boy charges Universo, and Devron says, Chameleon Boy, I hope you forgive me someday, but I'm doing what I have to do. And Devron shoots Chameleon Boy in the back.
Bizarch.
And he's
dang, it's cold, dude.
Yep. Meanwhile, elsewhere, you two came up as empty-handed as I did. Nothing but rocks here. Universo must be hiding under one of them. Maybe Cam and his teammate have better luck. And there is Cam and Devron. And Cam's out, and Devron's hovering over him. And Superboy's like, what happened? You two tangled with Universo? No, I'm responsible for this. Chameleon Boy was about to apprehend him, so I stunned him with my weapon. And Cam's like, he doesn't know what he's saying. Universo must have used his hypnotic power on him. And Devron's like, not true. I fired of my own free will. I betrayed all of you for a reason that doesn't concern you.
excuse me.
yeah,
exactly. How about we tell you what concerns us?
Yeah. In that case, from now on, we consider you a hostile prisoner. Lightlass, guard him. Any sudden move, and you're to subdue him with his own stunner. We've lost enough time. We've got to catch Universo before he gives us the slip again. Ooh, the slip. I just can't figure it, Superboy. I was so sure about Devron, I don't want to believe he turned against us. Meanwhile, Lightlass is holding the gun, and Devron is sitting there. But how do you know we wouldn't understand if you'd only explain why you turned traitor? Take a drink! He said it! What would be the use? Nothing I say can change what I did. And Lightlass gets a karate chop to the back of the neck from an unseen person. And Devron stands up and says, you! Of course, the gun's on the other side of her body from where she was holding it when that happens, but that's okay. That's magic. Okay. Devron says, if you hurt her, I'll calm down. I'm simply returning a favor.
Right? Sorry. What I love about this is that this is very different from the Universal we would come to know later on. The later on Universal, he would never sully his hands with
touching a woman. That's true.
Correct. Or anyone. Yeah. None of this.
He'd get somebody else to do it.
He'd manipulate someone else into doing it. Exactly. Well, so it's very interesting.
In his favor, there's no one else here. Except for
I suppose it's true.
Yeah.
And you need Devron to talk so the plot can move forward. So,
Indeed.
But yes, it's Universo who karate chopped Light Lass into unconsciousness. And he says, calm down, I'm simply returning a favor. Remember, you rescued me from a Legionnaire too. And DeBron's like, stop playing dumb. You know why I did it. Maybe it would have been better if you didn't save my life that day. Universo's like, so now the truth comes out. I suspected something like that. It's you. You tricked me. And sure enough, Universo is Chameleon Boy. Yeah, it was for your own good. As Chameleon Boy, I assumed the appearance of Universo. It was the only way I knew to make you talk. Now, what about him saving your life? Well, now I might as well confess everything. As I told you, the giant killer plan attacked my partner as we were about to close in on Universo. He was nearby hypnotizing the deadly gross, but he wasn't commanding the man-eater to attack my partner. No, he was stopping another plant from devouring me. In sheer panic, I froze. I would have met the same fate if it wasn't for Universo. His hypnotic beam halted that deadly claw just in time for me to scramble out of its reach. Then he momentarily hypnotized me, allowing him to escape. He said he regretted seeing someone die so young. Ha! Legionnaires, really? Yeah. Even if I was his enemy. From that day on, I knew I couldn't rest until I could settle the score with Universo. I owed him that escape today. And Light Lass wakes up. Oh, you KO'd me, Cam? What was the big idea? Sorry, Light Lass, but it was the only way to find out whose side DeBron's on. I'm happy to say he's with us. Now that I've repaid my debt, we're even. You've got to give me another chance to let me help you. Actually, you didn't save Universo, did you? Oh, well, I guess he did, really, in a way. Here's your stunner gun. We're wasting time, DeBron. Haven't we got a job to do? Let's get going. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. Now that I've repaid my debt. No, you haven't.
Well, really? Anyway, look, Timberwolf, as if he was blasted away. Universo must be under that rock. He's hiding under a lot of rocks. Mm-hmm. No, it's Superboy. He did that to Timberwolf, and now he's got Shrinking Violet. Has he gone out of his mind? Universo, Superboy is under his control. After them. Light Lass, be ready to work on Superboy. Hello.
Hey, now. You distract him with your feminine wiles. Yeah, that's it.
No wonder she went the other way.
Every time we go somewhere, they're using me as the distraction, and this is bullshit.
I'm tired of distracting these boys.
Because let's not
my
forget.
My jaw's sore.
Let's not forget, when Shooter came back to the Legion, one of the things he said for how he wanted Light Lass to be drawn was that she needed to be stacked.
She needed to be a farmer's daughter, even though she came onto the Legion imitating her brother.
Yes.
Had no breasts whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, that made sense. 14-year-old boy drawing.
Well, she just had to put the boob making helmet on.
No, Darren. This was when Shooter came back in his 50s.
Oh, you mean when he was the DOM writer?
The DOM,
Dirty Old Man.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was last time. Yeah, that's when he wanted her to be stacked.
Oh, well.
I'm sure when he was 13, he wanted her to be stacked too.
Probably.
Fap. Yeah.
Not in the time bubble. Get the pop. What are you doing, Scotty? Does this sound like he's fapping or something?
Anyway. I hope not.
Me too.
He's probably just trying to breathe.
Probably.
Sorry, what?
No, nothing. You're good.
All right, so they're ducking behind that rock formation. Superboy's following Universo. We'll be ready for them when they come out at the other side. Ooh, you gotta love it when they come out the other side. Now, Light Lass, you do your stuff before Superboy flies out of range. I made him super weightless. He's floating harmlessly now. Woo! Good, that'll keep him out of the way until we bag Universo. Come on, DeBron, he's all yours. Yeah, I know. Teabagging Universo. Yay. Oh, no, DeBron, what are you doing, betraying us again? No, I was simply thinking like a criminal again. If I was Universo, I'd trick my enemies into believing I was Superboy by hypnotizing them. You're right. It turns out illusions came into play here. Now that he's unconscious, his illusion is wearing off, revealing Universo underneath. He almost floated away to freedom from under our very noses. The Universo I was about to attack is really Superboy?
If he had floated away, wouldn't he have just floated into space and died?
Yeah, pretty
possibly.
Much.
That doesn't seem like the greatest plan there could be.
No, it's limited. No. Yeah.
Sorry about the rough time I gave everyone when Universo had me under his influence. I'm sorry I didn't have more confidence in you, DeBron, when things looked bad. Forget about it, Superboy. You were right, though. Like you warned, it took everything I had working alongside the Legion. The end.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
So one of the things we forgot at the beginning was in interviews, Grell has said a number of times that and I refer this for this to Comic Book Legends Revealed, the Brian Cronin column, number 212, and he did talk about so a few issues into his. When Mike Grell became the new regular artist on the Legion of Superheroes, there was something he noticed that troubled him a bit. In the future world of the Legion of Superheroes, there did not seem to be any black people.
None.
So a few issues into his run as the artist on the book, he took a new Science Police character that Kerry Bates was introducing in 207, who appeared to be a one-off character, and drew him as a black man. However, and this was when Boltonoff got into the whole, well, we're planning on having a black character show up in a few months. So chill your jets,
yeah. Right?
But one of the other reasons for Boltonoff not wanting this guy to wanting it to be this guy, because God knows you don't make that change and then come out with a stereotype character right after that. But one of the things was he didn't want the first black character in the Legion to show up and turn out to be some kind of traitor.
Which I guess is good.
Well, at least from the cover thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, just from the optics on the cover. Considering that he redeems himself and ends up, you know, saving the Legion, maybe
might not have been too bad.
Yeah, not an actual traitor, right?
But still, for the cover, I mean,
I can buy it.
You don't want
the optics
trying
there.
To steal the Legion's hubcaps, you know? Things like that.
Nice.
It's good enough for Robin, but not apparently
good
enough.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yes.
It's good enough for a white Robin in 1984.
Right. If it had been black Robin stealing the hubcaps off that thing,
it'd be gone. Store.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have not gone over well.
No, not at all.
No, sir. Don't like it. Don't like it a bit.
No, sir.
I'd give him a bit of credit on that, but yeah, you're right. It's all kind of sketchy. So, Scott, you want to take us through this next story?
Scotty?
Did we lose him again?
I don't know. Right. Maybe you should do it, Paul.
Maybe I should, because he mentioned that he might have to
go
on and off.
He's got to breathe, man.
Okay, next story up is Lightning Lad's Day of Dread.
Oh, no. He's had a lot of those over his history, hasn't
he? It's true. By Kerry Bates, art by Mike Grell, and I'm assuming letters by Ben Oda.
You would be correct, sir.
Yes. So we're looking at, we're at Legionnaire headquarters, and one of the members is, of course, Lightning Lad, looking at images of himself and, well, isn't this
Googling
interesting?
Googling himself?
He's looking at old family pictures of himself. And his brother Mech'd as babies, being held by their proud parents. Now, let's just think about this. He and Mech'd are shown as being of roughly the same age.
Yeah, this is really screwy.
Yeah. And a few years later, walking with their baby sister, Ayla.
But wait, how?
That's right. Now, unless there was a real delayed delivery, or maybe they do things different on Wyneth. But
I've been in labor for 3 years. Oh my god!
But it's not like it was a retcon that made Light Lass and Lightning Lad twins.
They've always been twins.
She was introduced as his twin sister. So, so this was not like it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, we wrote that story and then someone else, you know, moved the goalpost on us. No, it was this is a mistake. So it looks to me as though they're portraying Mech'd and Garth as twins, and then of course, Ayla walking with their baby sister Ayla a few years later.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, just wrong. Yeah.
Wrong.
All right, so in several...
Where's my no prize research? There, Stan Lee? Where is my no prize?
Is that just bad research on Kerry Bates' part, you think?
I would think so. And no one awake on the switch in editorial either.
I mean, because the whole Winnath Twins thing had been established well before this, yeah.
Well, at the very least, I think that George Tuska story where we saw the Lightning Beast of Korbal for the umpteenth time, I think they established then that most people on Wyneth were twins and that he was a singleton and that's why he was nuts.
Yeah. He went evil because he was alone.
Yeah. And so I think they'd established it at least that early on, if not before. So yeah, you know, you're right. Like
he has that missing twin out there now. You know that, right?
Yeah, sure, we'll see that any day now. Yeah. So Garth and Nayla being twins established right from her first appearance. So at the very least, we know that we know. So anyway, so then he zaps the screen because it's several more years later when both he and his brother were kazap. Hold it, what's this? Why do these memories suddenly throw him into a rage? The whole Starling story is revealed in the secret of Lightning Lad's Day of Dread.
Why is he in a rage? Because it's wrong, that's why.
Yeah. And apropos of absolutely nothing, we should wish Josh a happy birthday.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Joshy.
Yeah. Usually he just gets me making some wise ass crack about Ultra Boy. But today I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, for his birthday we did a story with no Ultra Boy in it, so there's no risk of derping.
Exactly.
Well, that's because there's no Ultra Boy in the whole darn issue, so you're safe.
That's right.
I know. I was putting it out there that we chose this one specifically for that reason.
No, exactly. It was just an order. We just got lucky. Well,
thanks. That's good. Yeah.
Yes, but we planned it way back months ago, so that we would hit this issue. Ago.
Meticulously scheduled.
Yes, exactly.
We plan everything around Josh's birthday. It's true.
Totally. Hello, squirrel.
Just one birthday at a time. All right. So, Lightning Lad, are you all right? It sounded like an explosion in there, says Shrinking Violet. And he says, out of my way. I've got a lot on my mind. She says, what's wrong with him? In all the years I've known Garth, I never saw him look so grim. And like his sister's hot.
Get off my fucking cup. Go away.
When squirrels attack.
Can you take him, please?
Hey, Scotty, are your nuts okay?
Yes, my nuts are safe. Except my water bottle.
Ah.
All right, so moments later, one of the Legion cruisers is revved up and waiting for takeoff. An Element Lad comes up to him and says, hey, Garth, what's with you today, old pal? And he says, that ship,
those burns.
Is it ready to go? So Adam Murdo, as Element Lad, says, all set for Karate Kid. He's flying to Japan for a well-deserved vacation.
He can't just flight ring there? Come on. Lazy Karate Kid.
Wrong, Element Lad. It's waiting for me. And and he cold cocks him.
Hey, no one cold cocks Element Lad. Okay.
Okay.
It's always warm. Warm, hey, warm. God.
Warm cocks, please.
Hey. Wait a minute. What's the matter with you? Didn't you hear me say it's been assigned to Karate Kid? I heard you all right, but didn't you hear me say I'm taking it?
Yeah, see?
Oh, take it.
All right, Norton, listen.
I got something important to do, and I don't have any time to waste, see? And he zaps Element Lad, and he says, wow, that bolt would have knocked me senseless if I hadn't insulated myself at the last second by changing my elemental structure to rubber.
Wait, what? He can do that?
No, he can't do that. He can change his costume to rubber.
He did it this time.
Yeah. No, he can't do that. This is where we get into a lot of this really fast and loose stuff with the power plays here.
Yeah. Yeah. We've already got twins that are born a few years apart.
A few years apart.
Yeah.
So
you know, that he gets something wrong on the powers. Yeah. Not so surprised. So then Karate Kid comes along with his suitcase packed, and he says, hey, wasn't that ship reserved for me? You were ripped.
Womp womp.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Poor.
Poor Freddy kid. Will he ever win? Oh, no. Yeah, he marries a princess.
Well, for a year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hey, speaking of princesses, the princess in that movie Frozen, at times, was for her coronation, was wearing an outfit that looked like Silver Age Projectra.
Really?
Totally. Nice. Totally.
For a second, I thought you were going to tell me she transformed herself into a snake.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Oh, man. And he said, yeah, so you were replaced, Karate Kid, by a Legionnaire in a big hurry. I never saw Lightning Lad look so desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I bet Saturn Girl has.
Not long after, within Legion HQ, they realized that Lightning Lad was looking at visitapes of his early childhood and just went out of his mind. We all know about the bad feelings between him and his brother Lightning Lord, but it took more
bad
than that.
Bad feelings?
Yeah.
It's a little more than that.
So, for those who are unfamiliar with their background...
Take a drink!
All right!
Yes. No, they don't actually mention them.
It's a very abbreviated version.
Yeah, and they don't mention them.
It's the Garth family origin. I don't care. Take a drink.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If we must.
We haven't done these in a while. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Lightning Lad has been kind of off to the side in these stories
So here's where it gets a lot more fast and loose. For those who are unfamiliar with their background, years ago, Garth and Mecht were simultaneously struck by the same electric monster that charged them both with lightning powers. And so was their sister. Garth became Lightning Lad and joined the Legion, which put him on the side of law and order, while Mech chose to work beyond the law and as Lightning Lord has organized a group of powerful cutthroats known as the Legion of Supervillains.
Light Lass,
as their sister, maybe she can help us clear up this mystery. If she's recovered enough, let's check the sick bay. What?
Oh, no.
She's under the clear tent there. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. And looking kind of like the way Shooter would like her drawn. I'm sorry, but she won't be able to speak for at least another 24 hours. I was hoping she'd be over her attack of Rigel fever by now. Did she catch it when they went after Universo? Right?
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think she probably caught it from Devron. You know.
No, that's jungle fever. Totally.
Well, yeah.
Different.
This is clearly what she has.
All right. Although voiceless, Ayla could hear her comrade speak of her brother's strange behavior. I know why he left, she thinks, and where he went. If it weren't for this paralyzing fever, I'd be off with him right now. What a tragic day it is for both of us because of something personal that neither Garth nor I ever shared with the other Legionnaires. Something that was too painful to talk about. Mm.
So no one's talking. It's like Lost.
Yes. Soon afterwards, millions of miles across the black void of space. There it is, just where I left it out a year ago. Now to suit up and venture outside. He gets in his spacesuit and he gets out and... It's like a statue floating upside down. He goes, just seeing it again. Choke! It's flooding back all the painful memories of that terrible day a year ago.
A year ago?
Famous first edition Wonder Woman 1 came out.
We've never shared it with the Legionnaires. It happened a whole year ago.
Uh-huh.
So, for a moment, his mind wanders back to the happy conversation he and his sister enjoyed at that time in the Legion Complex. It's terrific hearing from you, Mom and Dad. Did you have a pleasant vacation on Saturn? Mother and I had a splendid time, but now we're anxious to get back home. This space hopper we rented is so fast, we should be entering Earth's atmosphere in a few short... Splack!
Ah!
Dad, Mom, no, an explosion of some sort. Ayla and I alerted Galactic Control and sped to the sector where we'd picked up the last reading, but we were late, far too late. They never knew what hit them. When that meteor slammed into their ship, choke! Just look at the size of it. Stemming our grief that very day, Ayla and I built this memorial to them, carved out of the very meteor that claimed their lives. It will forever float here in space where Mom and Dad perished. But then suddenly, in the midst of his bereavement, who's that? Is it who I think it is? He's charging directly at me, as if to attack. One way to find out if my hunch is right.
Blast him!
Yeah, is to zap him. I'm not
even
sure.
Even if it's not who I think it is.
I'm not sure who it is, but let's see what happens with this.
I do this.
Yeah. Just as I thought. All along I suspected it would come to this. It's why I was so tense and nervous. Yes, Garth, it's me, Lightning Lord, your brother Mecht. I can read your thoughts because of the telepathic plug I'm wearing. I wasn't sure you'd have the nerve to show up. Weren't they my parents, too? I never attended their funeral, but I'd have been arrested if I had. Even in death, you let them down, Mecht. They always hoped they'd live to see their evil son reform and turn himself in. What makes you think I won't try and arrest you here and now? Because I think you realize this is the one place in the galaxy you and I aren't enemies. Merely brothers paying homage to our parents' memory. Get out of my sight, Mecht, but remember this. One day we'll surely meet again, and I swear I'll do everything in my power to bring you to justice. No doubt about it, brother. We will meet again, and it may be sooner than you think. Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I forget if their parents actually stayed dead or not.
I was just going to say, I'm reasonably sure they did not.
Yeah, I think they are alive and well, at least in this continuity, and this was just a forgotten story.
The ultimate battle is already brewing. The Legion of Superheroes versus the Legion of Supervillains. Yes, finally. It's an all-out war that's been simmering for years, which is triggered off in the very next issue.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. Lightning Lord is a bad omen, people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like when he showed up in just after issue 300.
Yeah. Bad omen, Lightning Lord. Mm-mm. Bad things happen. Dr. Regulus, not so much, but Lightning Lord, yes, bad omen.
I don't know. Regulus has led to some...
He has, but, you know. True. Not directly involved. It's just he's filler material, it seems. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep. Yeah, it was just, you know, whenever they needed to give some boy a little boost, and apparently then they decided, hey, no, Regulus, we'll just have him eaten.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there we go. That's issue 208. That story was all over the place.
Yeah, it was.
You know, again, decent art.
Makes the whole thing with Devron seem like a little playful, you know, erasing, you know, really, because of all the continuity errors in the last issue, the episode there.
Seriously.
So, you know,
Yeah, so it does seem that there was some inconsistency editorially on the Legion at the time. I wonder if this was as the reins were being turned over from Weisinger.
Possibly.
I mean, I guess by this point it had been... Well, Boltonoff, I think, was still working with Weisinger, but yeah. Anyway, it seems that someone wasn't as clear on that history as...
As they should have been.
They might have been. I'll be interested to take a look at the letters in a couple of pages.
And this is probably when we started getting the more vocal, you know, statements from the Interlac folks about, hey.
And that's what I mean. That's why I'm looking forward to checking out the Super Talk page in a couple of issues. Yeah.
Cool. Super Talking. Yay.
Indeed. So there we go. So we covered all our Legion news. Oh, we have some feedback.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Feedback. Yes.
And this is kind of cool because this might be our furthest distant feedback.
Really? Sweet.
Mars?
Yes, it's from Mars.
Sweet.
From Mars.
All right.
Galoot Proctal.
No, even better. It's a message from Australia.
Ooh.
And now he put that in the, he put hi from Australia and thanks for the podcast in the subject line, but I would have known it was from Australia because it starts off with g'day LSP.
Wow. Yeah. Sweet.
G'day.
This is from Derek. G'day. And g'day, he says, having just escaped from the Iron Curtain of time, I've only just discovered your podcast in the last couple of months. In that time, I've dived in deep and have just finished listening to episode 42, where you talk about the last issue of Legion of Three Worlds. Some days I've listened to three or four podcasts and I'm following along with my archive editions. Three or four, man, we've done some, you know, usually the shows are at least an hour. to the point where, like, if they were ever less, we used to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. Are y'all breaking up?
So back in the mid-70s, when I was about 8 or 9, I was given a box of old comics. These were black and white reprints that contained 2 or 3 issues to a book. I remember there were some Superman stories and probably some other stuff, but what I remember most were the Legion stories. I only discovered much later how early these stories were, the introduction of Lightning Lass and the rebirth of Lightning Lad. I must have read those stories dozens upon dozens of times. Growing up in a farming valley with only one small shop, I never had the opportunity to buy any more comics, and that box has long since vanished, but the Legion stayed with me. Flash forward to the mid-80s, just after Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I had my first job and money to spend. A mate introduced me to back into comics post-Crisis, and I dove back in again. And on my buy list was the Legion. This was just before the 5-year gap, and I have these vague memories of Element Lad erecting 2 memorials on Trom. These issues are packed away somewhere. I followed through the 5-year later... stories up until the mid to late 90s, and eventually dropped the Legionnaires title. Actually, I dropped all my titles. I was totally burned out with all of the X-Men titles from Marvel, and things in the DCU weren't exciting me anymore. Flash forward again to the mid-2000s, I started picking up the occasional DC graphic novel, then a few more. Then this guy, Geoff Johns, came along, and I was suddenly buying Green Lantern and Infinite Crisis in 52. Then, feeling the love for the Legion again, I started buying all the LSH trades I could. That would be the 3-Boot and Great Darkness and Legion of 3 Worlds and Superman in the LSH. I only buy trades now, so even though the Legion has been canceled again in the new 52, I still have one more to get before that run is over to me. And who knows, perhaps by the time I have it, there may be a new Legion title on the way. Your podcasts have filled me with nostalgic joy, perhaps the best kind of joy. The encyclopedic knowledge that you have combined with an enthusiasm of Colossal Boy stature has has rekindled in me a love for the Legion that, while it has never gone away, has ebbed and flowed over the last 40 years, and now I have over 200 podcasts to listen to. So thank you for all the work you guys are putting into the podcast, and please keep them up. When you were reviewing Superman and the Legion of Superheroes by Geoff Johns, I was following along with my trade. There is the scene in issue 1 where Superman is remembering the Legion, and we turn over to the splash page of the classic Legion. Literally, I did go choke at that point. A heartfelt choke of emotion. And to be fair, he's got the asterisks around the choke, so it's authentic.
Now, that is a Legionnaire right there.
Exactly. And so this is from Derek, a.k.a. Down Under Kid, from Tasmania, Australia.
That's awesome.
It really is.
Very awesome.
Very cool. Thanks so much for writing into us.
We're big in Australia, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Exactly. But, you know, that just right there hits the whole thing, that it is, you know, do we crack wise about stories on occasion? Yes. Yes, we
all do. All the time.
All the time. lest anyone ever be confused, we do love the stuff.
It's just sometimes... I only make fun of stuff I like.
What's that?
I said I only make stuff fun of stuff I
exactly,
like.
Exactly. Exactly. Just ignore the other stuff. Exactly. So
yeah.
So
true.
I really appreciate this, Derek. Thank you so much for writing this in.
Indeed.
And a couple of good
day.
Chokes.
Good day. Is that close? No, not at all.
No,
right. Okay.
No.
No, it's more like good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
That was actually pretty good, Scott. Yeah. Derek, let us know. Let us know. Okay. did anyone come remotely close?
None of us did. It's okay. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm gonna go watch some Crocodile Dundee now.
Don't make me say that's not a knife. I can't do it.
I'm not gonna make you say anything.
Now that I know someone from Australia is listening, I can't say that's not a knife.
That's not a knife.
Yeah, okay.
I've played Knifey Spoony before.
Knifey Spoony.
Seriously.
Excuse me. Goodness.
Jeebus. Right. Sounds like Scotty is beginning to infect the bubble here. We need to ship him off to the
need
iron.
A better air circulation system up in his bitch.
He needs the Iron Curtain of Medicus 1 quickly, I think. So he's spreading his germs through the Skype.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So let's wrap this up. Comments, yeah, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, recolored or not, and we will head back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week.
Unblackened.